Harihi Om Sahana Vacu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidrishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, reading from Mahabharata, so this is the chapter, 19, chapter 20. Draupadi dragged into the assembly. The Pandavas looked up at the Kuru elders, who, even after hearing Yudhishthira's words, all remained silent. The brothers could not determine what to do. They were ready to challenge Duryodhana and his 100 brothers to a fight. But seeing Yudhishthira still silent, they did not move. Bhima, however, could hardly contain himself, and Arjuna, breathing like a serpent, seemed to be on fire. See, because Yudhishthira is still quiet because he's working under the authority of Dhritarashtra, you know, because he's the elder. He raised up so he's like the father, and he's silent. Everybody else may be jumping up and down and this and that, but Dhritarashtra is not complaining or objecting. He's just going on as if everything is perfectly nice and all that. So that's why Yudhishthira is quiet. Duryodhana laughed, enjoying every moment of his victory. He again addressed the Pratikami, "Go and fetch the princess. She now has Yudhishthira's order." Right? So he's enjoying every moment because that's the unfortunate mentality that when others are suffering, then you feel pain and you feel happiness, because material life is painful, and so you don't like to be in pain. So when others are in pain, then you think, okay, then I'm not the only one, or this is better. Or here he feels he's in control. And because anytime you feel you're controlled, then the natural thing is you want to enjoy that, whatever you can control. So even though there's nothing to enjoy here, he'll enjoy just that he's able to control, just that he can give. He's so envious just that he can give pain to what he calls his enemies, even though they're not inimical to him. They've never done anything to him at all. The enmity is coming 100% from him. That's just the way it is. The servant looked perplexed. He was always obedient to Duryodhana, but he feared Draupadi's anger. He spoke hesitantly, like as his fears are anger, because a chaste woman, she's angry, and you have a problem. That's the thing. Duryodhana is so foolish, he doesn't fear that at all. So he's the one that has a problem. The Pratikamya knows there'll be a problem. He spoke hesitantly. "What shall I say to the queen for a third time?" Right? Because the second time he went, he said, "This dynasty's finished." So now he's going to say it the third time. Duryodhana snorted angrily. He turned to Dushasana. "Brother, this foolish servant is afraid of Bhima," which they all should be. "Go and bring Draupadi here. What can the Pandavas do now that they are dependent on our will?" And why are they dependent on our will? Only because they're religious. So Duryodhana, being irreligious, he's taking great pleasure in controlling them through his irreligion, but because they're religious, they're following. Otherwise, as you see, if it was up to Bhima right now, he'd stand up, take a club, go over there, smash Duryodhana off of the head, and go and kill all his 100 brothers, and then anybody else who's still standing there. Arjuna just take his arrows and wipe out everybody in the hall, and it'd be over in a matter of a few seconds. But they're not doing it because Yudhishthira's here, but Duryodhana, because he has faith that Yudhishthira is so religious that he said he'll do this, he knows he will, and then he takes advantage of that. So this is the demoniac mentality. It's when you take advantage of others being religious to get your irreligious things done, and then take pleasure in how you're able to be irreligious. You're only irreligious able to function because they're religious. Dushasana immediately rose and went straight to Draupadi like a dog entering a lion's den. He said, "Come, princess, we have won you honestly. Cast aside your modesty and go before your new master, Duryodhana." Right, instead of just saying, you know, this and that, it's been this and that, you know, some kind of gentle things. They have to say, everything they say is like taking a knife and twisting it. Everything. If they just stab you, they're not happy. They have to twist it, only then they're happy. It's just a demoniac nature. You can see why the reaction is so great, why there's the pollution for war, because this mentality is so bad that them and anyone who follows them, then they'll all be destroyed. Right? Because it's not, the Kurukshetra war is not a protracted war. It's not one that's, you know, going over years and years and, you know, decades and 100 years of war like you had in France or things like that. This is something in 18 days, everyone on the battlefield is dead except 7 people. You know? So we can understand that something very strong is going to happen here. "Oh, beautiful lady, now you must accept the Kauravas as your lords." Draupadi stood up, weeping loudly. She covered her pale face with her hands and ran towards Gandhari's chambers. Dushasana roared in anger and ran after her. Right, so a girl behaving in a, you know, feminine way, and here's a cultured woman and everything who deserves respects, but he gets angry because he's not following her will, as if he is the controller of women, he is the enjoyer of women, you know, stuff like that. He grabbed hold of her long, wavy hair and forcibly pulled her along with him. As he dragged Draupadi with her, by her bluish locks, like bluish means that, you know, it's that blue-black, that natural kind of color. The shameless prince recalled how that same hair had been sprinkled with the sanctified water of the Rajasuya. Ignoring her plaint with replies, and so he's remembering that, how she had been, and that irks them that they had been the emperors and they had not. So now that he can drag that hair, then they'll feel good. Ignoring her plaintive cries, he pulled her out into the palace's passageways. Kshatriya, if someone is surrendering, asking for shelter, and this and that, you're supposed to give shelter. So at this point, they're not behaving as Kshatriyas at all, on any level. They're just animals, that's all. But because Yudhishthira is religious, that's the only reason everyone in that room is still alive. That's all. But because they're doing this to Draupadi, even though Yudhishthira left them alive because of the insult to Draupadi, every last one of them will be killed. Every last one. Draupadi spoke to him in a low voice. "O rude one, wretch, you should not take me before the assembly. How can I appear there in my present condition, dressed only in a single cloth?" Dushasana laughed. "It does not matter, O Panchali, whether you are attired in one cloth or not. We have won you, and you must now live amongst our servant women as best you can." And so, if this is how they treat their servant women, they're beasts, because no kshatriya, all their servants, they're dressed in fine clothes and jewels and everything, because they wait on the queen. So that he's dealing in this way, this is not cute. The Kauravas then dragged away the Draupadi into the assembly hall. She prayed piteously to Krishna. Dushasana threw her before Duryodhana. Right, not even just bringing, they have to throw. He's big kshatriya, she's a girl, and he throws and they feel so strong. You know, that's the thing. These low-class people, even though that they themselves, you know, are so weak in character, they think, "Oh, see my strength, I can throw around a girl." Right, try doing that to Bhima. And Dushasana would be killed in a moment. Right? Bhima rips out his heart. He's, when he went after the 100 brothers, he killed them all in a matter of minutes. That's all on the battlefield, all fully armed, all ready to fight. Let alone if they're just sitting there and not expecting anything. So there she fell with the cloth in disarray, and her hair disheveled. The Kuru elders could hardly look at her. Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura were unable to maintain their composure, and they wept openly. Right? But still, Dhritarashtra, the fool that he is. Means, you could probably say this is one of the lowest points of Dhritarashtra's position. There's going to be other points, but this is one of the lowest, that he's going along because it pleases his son. He thinks it's very fun. It's great, nice.
Dushyant and Dhritarashtra ask, what is happening now?
Is the Panchala princess here? Like, he can't hear by what's going on or what she's saying in that? Is he deaf? Like, what's wrong with him? But that's the problem, is that he's so absorbed in pleasing his son and the happiness of the son, which makes him happy. He can't understand the situation. He doesn't understand. See, what's happening to them? Later he'll understand, because he has all the knowledge, he has all the training. That's what makes it even worse. Then Draupadi rose up like a flame, and then she addressed the assembly in an angry voice. All in this assembly are learned in scripture and devoted to sacrifice. Some are my elders and gurus. How can I stand before them in this state? The high-souled son of Dharma is bound by the subtle rules of morality. Only those with clear vision can understand those rules. I am therefore unable to admit even an atom of fault on the part of my husband. Because he's just following the rules. It's not great. You'll see later that show bring up, especially Bhima will bring up, that as Kshatriyas they can just fight him, because Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, Karna, and all them are wrong. It's not wrong for them as Kshatriyas to fight back, because they're acting in a bad way. You don't have to follow the standard rules of Dharma for them. It's just like when you're dealing with a snake, you know, you don't have to sit there and challenge them to a fight and do all this and that, because the snake's just envious. So you just kill it, that's all. And so in the same way as they're making that, no one would fault them. If at this point now, Bhima went over and killed them right now, no Kshatriya would blame them. Of course, Karna's going to say something and this and that, who cares? You know? So no one would blame them. And that's true. But then they'll just be another one of the kings, like so many kingdoms. But why the story stands, you know, we're listening to it after 5,000 years. But the point is this Mahabharata, these histories are always heard and always learned. And so after 5,000 years, we're still talking about it. I mean, it's just like you go, a great personality, recently, big political leader, after 10 years, 20 years, who even talks about them? Let alone 5,000 years. You know, so it's very unique, very special. So that's why you're here, because even though everyone else is behaving not according to religious principles, they still behave. So Yudhishthira's behaving, you know, following his authority, and the four brothers are following their authority. And Draupadi, even she's being sold, she's also. And so that's the greatness of them, and that's why the story, the Mahabharata, is about them. Draupadi looked towards Dhritarashtra, her eyes filled with tears. By his side, she saw Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura, their faces torn with anguish. Everyone remained silent as she continued to reprimand them. Right? So that's the other thing. Woman reprimands the big Kshatriyas, this and that. They're just quiet. They listen. You have to take a humble position. Then they may try the best they can, speak according to the situation. So you see, that's how a culture person will act. Or you see Dushyant, Duryodhana, it's not, saying they're uncultured is not enough. They're just not even human. That's not, they're just animals like that, of the lowest variety. How do you all say nothing as this wretch drags me into the hall? Surely, when you are all of the same, then you are all of the same mind. Shame on you. The Kuru's high morality has been destroyed by this act. This is a fact. Drona, Bhishma, Vidura, and the king have lost their greatness, for none of them condemn this most vile deed. Right? Because we see before, Vidura would speak up, Drona would speak up, Bhishma would speak up when they're, you know, when things are less tension. But now they're not. You know, of course, it's the pastime, so it'll work out this way, because then Krishna can destroy them all in 18 days in a big war that people will talk about for thousands of years. Well, you know, he could go around and one kingdom by one kingdom go kill all these guys. You know, because he's come to establish Dharma. But this makes something special. You know, makes something. Draupadi fell to the floor in the hall, crying in helplessness and distress. The slender waisted princess glanced at her enraged husbands. They were incensed to see her in such a state, and her glance inflamed them even more. Right? Because then, you know, they have that relationship, they want to take care, they're, you know, they're kings, they want to protect. Even the loss of the kingdom and wealth did not pain them as much as Draupadi's glance. And that's the power of women. right? It doesn't matter what happens to you, but that unfavorable glance or a disturbed glance or that helpless glance of a woman is the most painful. Filled as it was with modesty, anger, right? So she has that modesty because she's not supposed to be here, and anger at how all this, irreligion can be, is being performed, and by the crews. It's one thing if, a bunch of rock saucers came in and were trying to drag her away. That makes more sense. And then the plan was just you go after the rock shots and kill them. But here it's supposed to be people that are filled with all kinds of qualities and all that. So that's the things you have to be careful by bad association. So in other words, they all associate with Duryodhana, and therefore then they all pick on these bad qualities. When Dushasana saw Draupadi look at her husbands, however, he again dragged her towards the crews. "Slave, slave," he shouted. Duryodhana, Karna, and Shakuni all applauded Dushasana, right, as if he's doing some glorious deed. Is that she's turning to the husband. She's looking for shelter. You're supposed to give women shelter. That's just the normal culture thing that's there, especially someone in distress. Anyone in distress is supposed to. But they're not, and they're taking pleasure in it and think he's doing such a glorious task. They applauded Dushasana and laughed along with him, because he's laughing. Apart from those three, everyone else in the hall was afflicted with sorrow to see the princess treated in this way. Shaking his head, Bhishma fought back tears and said to Draupadi, "Blessed lady, knowing that one who has no wealth of his own cannot stake what belongs to others, but knowing also that the wives are always at the command of the husbands, I am unable to answer the point you raised. The ways of morality are subtle. Yudhishthira can abandon the whole world for wealth, but he will never sacrifice morality." So this is what confuses him, is that the wives are always at the command of their husbands, so you can't gamble them away, because even if you did, they still belong to the husband. So, and at the same time, as if you have nothing, you can't gamble away something that belongs to others. So in other words, Draupadi means if when they were lost, Draupadi's lost with them, because their wife means their Yudhishthira and the Pandavas are lost. Draupadi's lost, right? It's just the way it works. She goes with them. So if he already belongs to the Kauravas, how can he gamble Draupadi, who belongs to the Kauravas? So that's impossible. Same time, you can't separate husband and wife. But at the same time, as you can't understand, is Yudhishthira agreed to it. So then he's thinking, well, maybe there's some subtle aspect of Dharma here that he's not considering, because he's great in Dharma. He's the best in that Dharma form, but still Vidura and Yudhishthira, they're also, they possess special personalities. The Pandavas knew well that Shakuni could not be defeated at dice, yet still he played. At the same time, as he's not considering, he's following his authority. And that's what Draupadi is. He's following his elders, but Bhishma didn't mention that. He has staked and lost both himself and you. Princess, therefore, I'm confused upon this matter. Right? But at the same time, this is just how they're behaving. It's just downright wrong. It's not just a point of Dharma here that they're just pleasantly discussing, sitting in their chairs in the court. The king's brought up some point, and now they're discussing it. Here's someone, they've come, they've surrendered. If someone comes into the court and surrenders, then the king has to do something. But the point is they can't. Because even if she has been lost, that she belongs to the Kauravas, is this how you deal with the maidservants? Is this what it says in the Dharma Shastra? You can behave like this. So in any case, there's something wrong here. But this bewildering element is there, it's so intense, just so the pastime will unfold in a special way. Bhishma looked at the Dhritarashtra, right? So he's turning to him, he's the king. But the king remains silent. So if he remains silent, then that means either he doesn't know, so then he should take advice from others who do, and so then therefore Bhishma or Drona, Vidura can give advice. Or if no one can give, someone else in the assembly. Or because they're all saying Yudhishthira knows Dharma, they could ask him. But he's not, or his silence means he 100% agrees with, or at least he agrees with Duryodhana and will do nothing about it.
True.
Okay, so then we'll stop. Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.